Happy anniversary to Rebecca Gordon and the friends of the Missouri Governor's Mansion.
Correct? Hey, thank you very much. Good morning, you guys.
Welcome to 2019, huh?
2019, here we go. Mid-January, or almost, we're moving into late January 2019.
You told us that we're talking about a big anniversary for the Missouri Governor's Mansion.
We are. In August of 1974, Friends of the Missouri Governor's Mansion was founded by First Lady Carolyn Bond. And for anybody who's quick this morning with math, that would be 45 years ago this year. And so we're doing a lot of things this year to celebrate that anniversary and the service to the Missouri Governor's Mansion, the families, and Jefferson City.
Talk to us a little bit about why not a history lesson on the Missouri Governor's Mansion. It goes back a lot further than most people imagine, doesn't it?
It does. You know, in 2021, the state of Missouri is going to celebrate our bicentennial. But that also is a marker for the Missouri Governor's Mansion, the current one, which will turn 150 years old in 2021. So it's been here for a long time. What a lot of people don't know is that it's actually the third building on the site. And so the first governor to move into this new one was B. Gratz Brown. And we've certainly grown since then, but around 1869, Missouri had made it through the Civil War. We were rebuilding, and it was time to look at the Missouri Governor's Mansion. The second mansion that had been built there was built in 1832. And if you can imagine, it was falling apart. Jefferson City had just celebrated its 5,000th person in town around 1869, and there were complaints everywhere. Lots in the press, specifically, complaining of the porkers running in the street of Jefferson City, which I'm hoping are pigs, but
political porkers,
and they were running around, and it was kind of a down where the mansion is now. That, of course, was right near Jefferson Landing, and it was the place everyone was. And there were complaints about the 1832 governor's mansion, that it was mistaken for a candle factory, and it was in such disrepair that the governor and families didn't feel it safe to live there. So that following year, Governor B. Gratz Brown, who was this man, this governor, redheaded governor from St. Louis, asked the legislature for $50,000 to build a new building. Well, it was completed in 8 months, just around 8 months, for just under $75,000, including furnishings. Mm-hmm. So if you can imagine, we've made it pretty far with that investment from the taxpayers.
Did it look like it does now?
It does. And if you go back and look at the pictures, now over time, there's been a lot of changes. Certainly when it was first built, we did not have electricity. And so, you know, everything was candlelit, eventually gas, and then eventually electricity. The other thing is it didn't really have any indoor plumbing, which I am happy to report has been fixed and updated. And we certainly have that now, along with electricity. So it was different back then, but certainly looks the same.
Because it did not have electricity, is that why it has the huge windows?
That is correct. Mm-hmm. There was no way to cool anything off. And so those big windows were used for light and ventilation to allow that air to move in and out. And we actually, most of the beds at the time had mosquito netting or a fine netting, because if you can imagine those hot Missouri summers right on the river, you could have a pest problem.
Talk to us about B. Gratz Brown a little bit. He was kind of famous, or maybe even a little bit infamous in his own right, during his stint in the governor's office.
You know, B. Gratz Brown was infamous and famous, and he actually has famous relatives. But what he was known for in the state of Missouri, besides being a governor, is first he was elected to the House of Representatives in the 1850s. And he would travel from St. Louis to Jefferson City. But he would get into, of all things, political fights around the issues of the day with a friend of his. And they continued to just back and forth in the newspapers. So they weren't fighting quietly via notes and letters. They were fighting publicly in competing and dueling newspapers. And it finally got so bad that he was actually called out for a duel. Mm. Now, in 1852, duels were no longer legal. That didn't mean that they didn't happen all the time. So it took a couple of years for B. Gratz Brown as a senator and his rival to come to terms with what they were going to do. Were they going to use long guns or short guns? What were they going to do? Took about 2 years, and they decided to duel at 12 paces with short guns. Now, B. Gratz Brown was not the best shot. And so they went out to a sandbar in between the Missouri, on the Mississippi River, in between St. Louis and Illinois. No man's land. I'm not sure it works that way today. But they went out to a sandbar and they had their duel. Begratz Brown missed his opponent, but his opponent actually shot his knee. And so Begratz Brown in the 1850s survived a knee injury that was pretty substantial. He walked with a limp the rest of his life. But when they got back to the Missouri side of shore, law enforcement decided it was an Illinois problem. And Illinois decided it was a Missouri problem.
There you go.
And so they were let go. Good politics, yes, all the way around, right? Mm-hmm. They worked it out. And the duel was completed. But certainly he was the last known governor to have a duel in the state of Missouri.
Probably a few after him probably thought of that, but probably thought better of it, we would hope.
They were starting to work away from the drawing blood in that way. His granddaughter, by the way, is also very well known, especially to Missouri children and children across the country. Her name is Margaret Brown, and she actually wrote Good Night Moon, which is a very well-known children's book. And so she was the granddaughter of Begratz Brown. So he's got a lot of good connections there in the family.
Rebecca Gordon, friends of the Missouri Governor's Mansion, with us on KWOS Open Air. 556-6397 our number. Calls, questions, comments, even a text message. Talk a little more about the Missouri Governor's Mansion. We'll take a break and come back with Rebecca Gordon and some more anniversary stuff. Some behind the scenes at the Missouri Governor's Mansion on KWOS Open Air. KWOS Open Air, brought to you by Arts Pest Control. You stay, they go. Rebecca Gordon in with us, friends of the Missouri Governor's Mansion. Questions or comments, text messages, 556-6397. Rebecca, talk about the history story with the governor and Frank James of the James Brothers. That's always a good story. We like that one.
That's a good one. All right. Well, and I don't have Terry Ursem here with me, who is certainly the keeper of the best story. But so we're fast forwarding now. This is 1881, 1882. Again, post-Civil War, and the house is now built. And it became very clear about 3 months after Jesse James was shot and murdered, or killed, depending on which side of the state and which story you want to go from. And Frank James decided that he no longer wanted to live the life of an outlaw. And so he decided to cut a deal with Governor Crittenden. Now, anybody who knows the mansion, Governor Crittenden and his wife had a daughter named Carrie Crittenden, who died at 9 years old of diphtheria. And if you go by the mansion, she is the little girl on top of the fountain, just to give you a little bit of perspective. But she was still alive. And Frank James reached out to the governor and they struck a deal where Frank James would come to Jefferson City, turn in his pistols, and the governor would help support his claim and allow him to go free. So here we are, and it's a big deal. Frank James by now is a huge celebrity. Not so much the Robin Hood kind of feeling that we have today, but very much based on his service during the war and his background and people. And he jumped on a train and rode into Jefferson City to much fanfare. Don't let anybody tell you different. Jefferson City was incredibly excited to see Frank James. Frank James took rooms across from the mansion where the governor's hotel is now. It was named something else then. And actually, for the full day that he was there, he took visitors. And people of all stripes, all backgrounds in Jefferson City came in to see and greet the infamous Frank James, including the governor and first lady that evening, who went over to meet with him and visit with him. The next day, and here's where the story is clouded in mystery, the next day he either went to the mansion or the governor's mansion to turn in his pistols to the governor. Now, he was armed to the teeth, and he had never let anybody else hold his pistols or touch his guns before, but he turned them over to Governor Crittenden. We've had stories on both, and I have some family history that indicates the mansion, but for those history buffs out there, I'll leave it as we are not completely sure. Anyway, he leaves the mansion, walks out, hops on the train, and heads back to Kansas City, where he stands trial and is fully acquitted of all of his crimes and lives out the rest of his years as a gentleman. What's interesting about Governor Crittenden is his son actually became the mayor of Kansas City around 1911. And Frank James, Jesse James' children and their family and the Crittenden family maintained a close relationship throughout their entire lives. So kind of an interesting story.
It is a great story. Mm-hmm. Do we know what happened to Frank James' pistols?
We do not. We do not. That's a really great question. They could be floating around somewhere because they didn't give them back. They're here somewhere. They're around. So I think we need to dig into that and find them.
KWOS Open Air, Rebecca Gordon, friends of the Missouri Governor's Mansion, in with us. How about a behind-the-scenes look? You've got a brand-new governor and first lady and extended family there, and we know from knowing Mike Parson from the State House and all, they're just some down-to-earth folks. I'm sure it's kind of a breath of fresh air for everybody.
I tell you what, this is my fifth year as the executive director of Friends of the Missouri Governor's Mansion. We have about 60 volunteer docents, and it has been so fun to get to know the first lady, to get to know the governor, Lieutenant Governor Kehoe and his wife Claudia, of course, and to just see the air and the joy and the excitement around opening the mansion up and really, really utilizing it as the people's house. And we've had the just tremendous opportunity to do that often. Pull back the curtains behind the scenes. And I know every time I drive up, it looks like nothing's happening. And I can just tell you that we are literally the first lady. When she says it's the people's house, we're having people in, she means it. There's something going on every day, whether it's tours or events or local groups or whatever it is. We are doing that. And it's been so much fun.
Those are kinds of people that like to get out and meet people. And they are people. They're people, but that is something that is right. They are people that like to meet the people.
Absolutely. And, the First Lady kind of pulled back the doors and said, come on in. I'm going to show you where we live, what we do. And every time I go through the house with her and the docents or, a tour group, I always hear a new story, something interesting that they've picked up or experienced while they're in the home. And they're just really wonderful to work with and be around.
Technicality, of course, the whole house is theirs to live in, but basically the living quarters are the second and third stories. Is that right?
That is true. If they have people over. So that second, third story. So the main tour is the first floor. And certainly we like to try to give them some space and privacy because they are working so hard across the state of Missouri. And then you've got the basement, which I always say is the nerve center, where the staff works and we, get stuff done. So,
well, I have played billiards on the table on the second floor?
Third floor, yes. In the ballroom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's
150-plus-year-old pool table.
It is. It is an incredibly old pool table and actually was a gift to the mansion by Governor Marmaduke. Hmm. And so he was a bachelor, and he spent a lot of time at that pool table.
Interesting.
Played on that table myself many moons ago with Governor Carnahan and the ivory pool ball.
Did you really?
I played with Walter Cronkite's wife.
Really?
Yes. Wow. So.
Well, how fun is that? It really is. It's... upstairs, it's the ballroom, the game room. It was originally called the supper room, of all things, if you can believe it. They would have suppers up there. And so it's really been nice to be able to go up and visit those rooms and that big area. Out that window over by the pool table, you can look and you can see where the Missouri and Osage River meet, which is why Jefferson City was chosen as the state capital.
Rebecca Gordon with us, Friends of the Missouri Governor's Mansion, KWOS Open Air, 556-6397. How you fix for volunteers and docents right now?
We could use some docents. And so if you know a docent, you have to be referred by a docent to kind of get into the program. So if you know a docent here in Jefferson City and you're interested in history and love people and want to participate, please email us, give us a call. We'd love to have you.
Talk to us a little bit about how they kind of develop their own personas and all, because they assume the role of someone from Missouri history. Like you mentioned, our good friend, former Capitol Police Officer Terry Ursem, has been Frank James at the mansion for many moons.
He has. Well, and that's every docent. What we like to do is really celebrate the individuality of each docent and what they care about in their stories. And so it doesn't matter when you come through the mansion, you're not going to hear the same story or the same information twice. I know I have my personal favorite things to talk about, and each docent does as well. And so we work with each individual docent to create an amazing experience for our guests.
Any parameters for those folks? I mean, a lot of them are retired people. You've had a lot of people over the years who've been teachers who like to carry that whole mindset on, haven't you?
We do. You know, we literally, because we have morning tours and afternoon tours, and sometimes we have things in the evening, we're pretty flexible time-wise. We don't, you know, there's no set hours per se. What we really are looking for is people who are storytellers. Can you tell a story? Can you bring this place to life? It's not just the items in it, but really the thousands of people who have come through and really lent their piece to the fabric of the entire governor's mansion.
Rebecca, before we let you get out of here, how are renovations and things going at the governor's mansion? That is just one of those ongoing works in progress.
It is always an ongoing work in progress. And as we move through, we're kind of in a three-year arc with our 45th anniversary kicking it off and the 150th anniversary of the mansion. We have some really big things that we're getting ready to do. We're gearing up for that. And we're incredibly excited. And I'll be sharing some of those details as we go through. But it is time. There are many things that need to be done.
Missouri Governor's Mansion, the Friends of the Missouri Mansion, Rebecca Gordon in with us this morning on KWS Open Air. Well, give our best to your governor and first lady when you return over there.
I will.
Keep us posted and happy anniversary.
Hey, thank you. Thanks for having me, guys.
We'll see you next time. Just ahead.